First Chronicles, chapter 28. But before we get started too much, I've asked, you have to be careful, but I think with this group, I think it's okay. I'm going to take a chance. I've asked some people just to give a little testimony.
Amen.
And the whole idea of testimony is not to build you up or talk about your sin or how great you were. Oh, at the end, Jesus saved me. But the whole idea of the testimony is to testify of God's goodness.
Amen.
So we've asked a couple, if you could just, if you would do that. Miss Jody, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, Miss Jody. They made us a really great dinner, and I really need, I'm really buying a few more minutes to work it off, because I ate so much more. So I'm punishing her by giving it, by having her testimony. Speak, stand up if you will, or nice and loud.
3 years ago, we walked through the doors, broken family, and through many trials and much Bible reading, we're finally starting to get our home together and trying to put God in the middle of it all and work our way through it. But He's been great to us, and He's provided us with a new home finally this year and brought us through 2 months of no water. So He's putting it to us, but He's been good to bring us through and give us better things at the end.
Praise the Lord. Brother Dale?
Yep.
I know Brother Dale's got something to say.
I see a miracle in the Montgomery family. I see where the Lord's really, brought these people. Sometimes they may not understand everything, but God has got His hand on that family second to none. I just love watching it. But as for myself, everybody knows I'm struggling with my leg and my back and so on. But I'm here to testify that I'm happy. Here's why I'm happy. Not because I'm in pain, because I know the Lord has gotten me through this. He walks with me every day in this. He has drawn me closer through this situation. I have not thought about my situation as a debilitating situation. I thought about God has put a call on my life, and it has me to get closer to Him. There's things in my life that I need to get rid of. There's things that I need to surrender in my life, that the Lord just gave me the time that I was able to do that. It's not fun being in the position that I'm in right now with the pain, but I would not pass it up for the world because of the closeness that I have with the Lord, the prayers that I have, my times in the Bible. I mean, just be able to get my family back on track where we need to be. I mean, just stuff like that. And He's also showed me this through this whole thing. It's been almost about a year now. I mean, I've been going through a lot out of work. But He showed me this, bro. He said, if the whole world seems like it's collapsing around you and it's just falling apart, be of good cheer. Why? He's overcome the world.
Amen.
He's already overcome everything we all went through. We just have to sit back, put our seatbelts on, and go with it. Because I'll tell you right now, He's not going to allow you to go through something you can't handle. He'll put you through it. He wants to see your testing grounds. You know what? I'm just telling you this. People are pulling on your strength. They want to see how strong you really are. They want to see you where you really stand. We put up with that with family a lot and people around here a lot. They want to see where we really at. Pastor taught me. That was an important lesson that he taught me. Listen, people are going to be watching you. They're going to see what you're really about. They're going to be pulling on that. And if it wasn't by the grace of God, I would have fell on my face and just walked away a long time ago. But God has been merciful to me and my family. And just when the world thinks like when it gets too hard for you, just realize He's already overcome everything you've been through. He knows it all. He'll get you through it. Just sit back and go with Him. It's going to be a hard, hard ride, but He's got you.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? God's just pressing you. You just can't keep it in anymore. Yes, sister.
On that same line that Dale was talking about.
Stand up.
Kind of a bush or something.
That would be a trick. Stand up.
I couldn't put in words all the things that God done for me in my broken leg. I just couldn't. I mean, it's been great. I mean, y'all know the stories. I mean, when I first got saved, I had broken toes. And oh, man. Yeah. But I've been longing for a long time for... when I first got saved, it was like, I mean, it blew my mind. I mean, I didn't... that He actually loved the likes of me. I mean, I just... still ain't got over it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm gonna understand that when I get to heaven. I don't think that's something I'll never understand. But when time go on, you start to drift, and oh, I knew how to act in church and all that kind of stuff, but I just knew there wasn't that close relationship. It kind of slipped, it kind of slowly, you know, just kind of faded. And I've been longing for a long time, God, if you can possibly give back that first love, that just drunk feeling almost like love I had. I don't know how to describe it, but
any others? Okay, yes, sister.
Actually, I was just saved January 22nd.
Amen.
I thought I was actually saved when I was about 14.
Of this year? Recently?
Yeah.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
And,
it was an eye-opener for me, but I had been questioning for quite some time, and mainly because of the fruits in my life. I think
Amen.
God loved
yes.
me enough to be patient yeah. enough to wait for me.
Amen.
He's still working on a lot of different things, yes. and I praise God for that. But He has opened my eyes to so many things, and I am looking forward to the works that He's going to be doing.
Amen.
Amen. Me too.
Amen.
Lord. Fantastic. Thank you. Well, that's encouraging to me. Amen.
Yes.
So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So, amen. All right. John Wooden. I like to read biographies, and one of my favorite characters in life is John Wooden. He was the famous, probably the most winningest NCAA basketball coach. He coached the UCLA team for about 8 years. I think they won 4 titles in a row. I think they won a total of 5 or 6. Just awesome. Winning team and record, and he gave us testimony of how things go. It's in the late 60s and the early 70s, and the world is crazy, just like it is now. You know, it's all tumultuous, anti-war and hippie and drugs and free this and not free that and all kinds of stuff. And here's old John Wooden, an Indiana boy, you know, straight shooter. And he runs a pretty tight ship, and they won 2 championships, and they had the next year, the beginning with the freshmen come in, and the freshmen are all, you know, these are the high school draft picks, if you will. They all want to play at UCLA because they're going to win, and they'd come in, and it was the testimony of one of the freshmen that they'd come in and Coach Wooden would have them sit there in the bleachers, and he'd take away the ball and just sit and be quiet now. And they're all excited. This is their first practice, their first meeting with the coach, where they're really serious. And the first thing, the legendary coach would come out, and he'd stand in front of them, and he would never raise his voice. He'd never get upset or anything. He'd just say, "Okay, all you guys, take the shoes off." They go, "What do you say?" "Didn't you hear me? I said, take your shoes off." So they take their sneakers off, their basketball shoes off. He goes, "Now, put them on this way. You know, put them on this way. Pull your sock up. Pull your sock up this high. Right? Now, tie your shoe this way. Don't run the laces that way. Run them this way. When you tie your lace, when you do a double knot. I don't want you to ever have to stop the game and call timeout because your shoe's undone. You know, I don't want your foot to get sore." And he'd just start with the basic things, how to wear. And they were like, "Are you kidding me? We're expecting like the alley-oop play, you know, where the three of us would launch over and this highlight real stuff, right?" He goes, "Oh, no, that's not how we win basketball games. We do the fundamentals, and we do them very, very well."
Amen.
If you were a football coach, and the few football coaches I know, they'd say this: "We will win our games when we do blocking and tackling very, very well. If you don't block and you don't tackle, you don't have time for the fancy long passes and the catches and all kinds of stuff like that. I say all that because yesterday, I feel like yesterday and even the day before, you know, when we have a meeting and maybe first time or second time, we haven't met, we don't really know. First couple times, we have to sometimes clean up a little bit. Amen? Yesterday was kind of a cleanup. And I know testimony of some of you. Some of you, you went home and you cleaned up some things.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
But it's time now to start. If we're clean, if we're a holy assembly, let's begin, right? Mm-hmm. Let's begin at the very basics. Let's take our shoes off. No, not literally. Let's tie our laces the way they ought to be, right? Let's learn about blocking. Let's learn about tackling. And then tomorrow, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's message. I really hated yesterday's message. It was really clunky. And I heard, like, well, it was good. God was in it. Well, I'm glad. Amen? Because it's just, you know how you guys know how it is. It's just, I just thought it was it had egg written all over it. And God can use it. Praise the Lord. So anyway, tonight I want to be like the coach, famous Coach Wooden. We're just going to do some basics. Amen? And I got to tell you, though, if you don't do the basics, you're not going to see the fancy stuff, right? We're going to excel at blocking and tackling and in running. And Coach Wooden said the team that wins is the team that runs and puts themselves in the position to win. You know, move your feet. Be in the place you're supposed to be. I want to make the three-point shot. No, we get ourselves in rebound position, right? We run for those loose balls. We run back and we play defense. We don't just shoot. So what we're going to do today is just kind of along those lines. First Chronicles chapter 28, of course. I'll read a little bit and then we'll pray and go on. I got to tell you, I'm really enjoying our time here. The people have been very gracious. Your pastor was, I don't know if you know that, but he gifted me with these things. I have this smartphone. It was a gift from a church, and because I don't have a phone, and they felt sorry for me, and they gave me a smartphone. Well, smartphones and dumb people I don't know anything about. I don't even know which way the thing worked. I'm still looking for the dial, you know. I want to go up and click, ring the thing, you know. Oh, no, man, don't you know anything? No, I don't. I don't know anything. I'm the only one in the world, I think, that didn't have a Mobi phone, but now I have one. But the thing didn't work because it didn't charge. It charged once and that was it. And they didn't give me any way to replenish the thing. Well, your pastor took care of me. Isn't that nice? Yeah. I mean, he took care of me big. I got every kind of charger device there is. I mean, everything under the sun, including sun powered. I mean, I got everything, so... I don't know if you know that, but it's very kind, and I'm grateful. And today I started to use a little bit, you know, turned it on, and I left it at home because I'm not sure if I turned it off, and I don't want the thing to beep or click or do something, and I would be so embarrassed because you know how that is. So anyway, First Chronicles chapter 28, and David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. Lord, I just thank you for the testimonies. Thank you we could have our assembly in peace and in quiet. Lord, thank you that we don't have to post looking for police, or we don't have to worry about trouble. God, thank you even we don't have to watch the parking lot for thieves and so on. We can just meet. Lord, your will would be accomplished now. Thank you for what you have done. Lord, we really need your help to go on. And God, we're just starting. And God, I pray you'd bless. Thank you for those who have come. I know many have a lot of physical pain. God, for now, I pray that they could just... You could mute the pain and you would allow them to soak up the Word of God, and it'd be a blessing to them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The pattern. David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern. I love this. This is so easy. Being an engineer or something like that, you know, it's just, I like patterns. I'm not a word person, believe it or not. I wrote a book about words of the King James Bible. Really, it was my study notes because I couldn't find anybody else that did it. But really, I prefer to look at a model. I mean, if I have a set of instructions and there's a diagram and there's words, I don't even look at the words. I think they're in Spanish anyway, right? I look at the picture. And then if there's not a picture, I want to look at the pattern. So I just think it was really, what I see here, it just makes so much sense. David is telling his son before all people, son, follow the pattern. You don't know how moms and dads especially, you don't know what kind of a pattern that you are. You know you are being watched.
Right.
A few years ago, I'm 52 now, I was probably mid-40s, and well, it was 7 years ago then. I was with my father, he visited here a year or so ago. But my father my mother calls it Handletown. In his barn, he built a barn, there's all kind of handles of everything, Planet Juniors, and you know what Planet Juniors are, you know, and rototillers and lawnmowers. If it has a handle and an engine, it's in the barn somewhere. Gravely tractors, walk behind tractors. She calls it handle. It really is. There's handles of all kinds of stuff around. Well, we had some hunk of junk, some cast iron junk, and we pulled it out there. We were working out in the garage. I think we were doing a carburetor overhaul or something. Some 1935 Gravely T-head, you know, whatever. It's just, well, push it over the bank, you know, sell it to the Chinese for scrap iron. But no, he revives it, you know. And we just couldn't get it to work. I mean, you guys do, you know what I'm talking about? You just can't, it just isn't working, man. It's just frustrating. And, you know, we'd put it together and it wouldn't work. We'd take it apart, we'd put it together, it just wouldn't work. And I looked at my father, and it wasn't a terrible time. And there was a tear in his eye. This is I've never seen my father cry. I mean, never. And he said with like a little sheepish boy voice, he goes, if Ironhead was here, he'd know what to do. Ironhead was my grandfather, his father, his name was Ironhead. And he was a Pennsylvania guy and a Potter County guy. But Ironhead would tell us, you know, take it apart, go slowly, clean it, go back to the basics, think about what you're doing, don't be in a rush, do each step well. So we took the carburetor apart again, we cleaned every port, every needle, turned it in exactly tight, turned it back 1.5 turns. We put that thing on that T-head, blah, 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 blah. It purrs like a kitten.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? I realized then that my father, I didn't know as a kid, but my father was patterning his life after his father. You know what? Sometimes it's scary, but I see my kids also patterning their life after me and Lucy. So I think it's good. David told Solomon, build a pattern, do something. Look it down to verse 12. It's not enough just to be a pattern, there's more to it. And the pattern of all, by the way, pattern only shows up about 10 times in the Bible, and most of the cases are here in this chapter, the building of the temple. And the one time it's referred to in Hebrews is talking about the building of the tabernacle, right? God told Warren Moses, you know, build it according exactly to the pattern I gave you. And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. It's not just a pattern, because frankly, it's not just Allegheny County. It's Vietnam. It's Erie County. It's what county do we live in, dear? No, wherever we are. Oswego County. Oh, man, you know. We see a lot of patterns. but they're not by the Spirit. We see patterns of abuse, right? We see generational, I think it's a generational spirit that's passed on, right? We see, let me just hold this. There's a fellow in our old church, Joe. Joe's a good guy. He's my friend. But Joe was brought up by his mother, his sister, and his aunt. Joe was brought up by all women. You know how Joe acts today? Joe acts like his mother, his aunt, and his sister. His wife runs the house. And Joe just can't get it. Because the pattern he brought up that he knew and that he's followed is not according to the Spirit of God. It's according to what worked for them at that time. It's according to the flesh. We've all seen patterns of... It's so big. I'll just say things that are not good. Right? I could list many examples. Alcoholism. Well, I saw my mother, father, brother, so on. When they had a monkey on their back, when they had a problem, you know what they do? First thing they do is they run to the bottle. Right? Or something would go up their nose and they'd feel better. The problem is still there. In fact, the problem is magnified now. Because now you got to hang over your debt and you owe people and you still have the problem. It doesn't solve anything. But people see that and they maybe subconsciously they don't. They learn, this is what I do. I have four daughters. Two are married and two are not. And a few years ago, you know, they would talk about husbands. And praise the Lord, you know, the two that are married, really fine men. And the daughters are doing well. Thank God, because we feel like we're the lousiest parents in the world. We love them, but, you know, it's God's grace. Amen. And by the way, you know, if your child isn't doing exactly, you know, leave the light on and love them. Amen.
Amen.
You know, they are, they can choose to, and they can do things. Amen. But my daughters would always say, well, Dad, what? Because, you know, what if we married a Vietnamese? What if we married a non-waspish person? Whatever. You know what I mean? What if we married someone of color or not color? What, I don't know what color, you know, I assume black or green or something, you know. What if we married someone who ain't quite like us? And I said, well, really, here's the problem. And I'm probably in thin ice here. Here's the problem. It's not that they have a different amount of melanin in their skin, right? It doesn't mean that their nose is narrower or flatter or wider or whatever, right? It has nothing to do with the physical characteristics. Here's what I'm concerned about, is the pattern that young man has been brought up into, the culture. How do they respond to trouble? Do they respond with violence? Have they been brought up in wife beating and abuse, right? Because you know what? That's what they know. That's what they've seen. That's what they'll do. It doesn't matter if they're white, green, black, or blue. What's their model? I want to know about their model. Tell me about their mom and dad, right? And I think it made sense to them.
Yeah.
So I'm glad about that. The pattern, it's by the Spirit. Go to Titus. Keep your ribbon here. Go to Titus. There's another place where the pattern shows up. There's a point to the message, and bless you, I'll get to it in a few minutes, but there is a general point. Titus chapter 2, let's get like really practical and useful. Yeah, the last of the five T's in your New Testament there. Titus chapter 2. Titus is, he'd be like a Titus to Paul. He'd be like a Timothy. He's like a disciple of Paul. He's a friend. And I think Paul was his mentor. And Titus would do errands for Paul. He'd take assignments. He'd go places maybe Paul couldn't go and so on. And Paul would write to him a letter. And here's a letter to Titus. And in chapter 2 he said, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober." That means they're not jokers and clowns, right? Yeah, it does mean that they're not, you know, tipsy. They haven't been drinking, but it's more like they're not foolish and, you know, goofy. They're not the Three Stooges. Grave. It's, you know, serious. If they tell you something, they're not, it's not, okay, shock, Scully, I was just joking, you know. Temperate. Sound in faith. In charity and patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Wow. You can be a holy woman. Amen?
Right.
Oh, no, it's beyond me. Oh, no. It's, you can do it. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. You know, God's plan is first is for the family unit. Amen? The father's responsible, the mother's responsible, and then the children. Say, oh no, this my teacher, my kindergarten teacher, my pastor, my... We put too much, again, I'm on thin ice maybe, but we put too much on the local pastor. You know, I just, you know what I want for my pastor, and I hope, I want him to be an example. How do you deal when I have this trouble or I got this problem? I got this guy, Dale was telling me before, you know, there was this thing where, you know, they had this deal, and the pastor's response was, no matter what you do to me, I'm still going to love you. Wow. You know what? He learned. He's an example. His personal characteristic is shining through. I don't need you to. I was a deaf pastor for a short time, and they would call me. Pastor, what should I do? I'm at Sears, and I need to buy a refrigerator, and I don't know if I should buy a white color or almond color. Seriously. I said, well, it's obvious. Almond is in the Bible. Buy an almond color. And you're right. Oh, I knew you'd know the answer. I think white's in the Bible too, but they never said, oh, I knew you'd know because you're the pastor. And they call me on these stupid little things. Excuse me, but keep your whole life, right? Men, be men. Ladies, be like, this is a good example. This is a good pattern. To be discreet, look at verse 5, chaste. Keepers at home. That doesn't mean you have to lock yourself in your closet. That just means, hey, every Friday night, I'm going out no matter what. Really? You have to? Why don't you stay home with your family for once? Amen? Amen?
Yes, sir.
Make your home your refuge, your fortress, and so on. That doesn't mean I can't go out. But, hey, you know what? We like to be home. Yes. Amen? Anyway, a good. Be good. Obedient to their own heart. I'm going to skip that one. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself, look at this, a pattern of good works. We got some young men here. We got two, three. We got a couple sleeping here. You know, we got young men. You can be a pattern for other young men. Do you realize that? You know what? Kids copy other kids. You want to be part of the club, you better be just like the leader of the club or you're not in, right? Hey, why don't you take the lead? Why don't you take the lead with good works and do good things? You can do that. Well, everybody follows a pattern. Can we do it according to the Spirit, though? Can we do it a good way? I believe these words are by the Spirit. Can we set up a good pattern that way? I think it's good. And we go back. Go back to 1 Chronicles 28. I was going to read all this, but just for time's sake, I'm going to skip to verse 19. 1 Chronicles 28:19. All this said David. He's talking about all the, you know, the candlesticks and all the snuffers and the bowls and the building and all that stuff. And he's telling, you know, how all things are going to go and all this stuff. And he's talking about the pattern that he has. All this, said David, the Lord may be understand by dreams and visions. No, in writing.
That's right.
In writing. God gave me the pattern. in writing.
Amen.
How about that? There's no more sure way. If I have I wouldn't dare, but if I had a court case, Brother Hayne and I have a dispute, amen? Maybe it's about a fence line or something, right? And we go to Judge Asquith, and I go, Judge Asquith, this blah, 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 blah person, and blah, 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 my case, my case, my case, my case, and I feel blah, blah, blah. And Pastor Hayne says, well, Judge Asquith, I have here in writing.
Yeah.
I have the deed. I have it in writing here. Guess who's going to win that case? Well, I don't have a chance. It's just my feeling against the written document.
Amen.
Don't we have a greater written document?
Yeah.
The courts of heaven, amen? We've got the promises of Almighty God right here.
Yeah.
It's in writing. The pattern is here for us. But do we care? Right? Is it important to us? The issues of our very life? I don't know. I just think it's interesting. I just think it's really interesting that David would say that. It's in writing.
Amen.
I want you to go. I think I've been here before with this, but we'll do it again. Hebrews chapter 3. Keep your ribbon here. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm sure I've been down this road, but, you know, there's some new folks and so on. Hebrews chapter 3, some interesting goings on here. Maybe you Bible scholars, we got some people that know the Bible pretty well here. You can help me out because this is really confusing to me. Amen? I can get confused very easily. And when I come back, I'm going to have a smartphone and I'm going to know how to use it. I mean, I've got the clock set on Ho Chi Minh City time, which is an hour off. We'll figure it out. I'll get my teenager to help me. Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, let's look at verse 7. It's hard to break in because it's like a continuing argument, but we're going to, just for time's sake, we're going to break in at verse 7. Wherefore, and it's a parenthetical statement, as the Holy Ghost saith, I want you to notice that. The Holy Ghost says, all right? Who's saying this? The Holy Ghost says, today, if you hear my voice, heart. Now he's quoting, he says, that's Psalm 95. Harden not your heart in the wilderness and so on. He's quoting Psalm 95, verse 7 through 11. And he says, the Holy Ghost says that. Did you get that? Now, if you go down to verse 15, it says, while it is that it is a reference to the scriptures, right? It. And it says, today, if you will hear his voice, oh, that's the same psalm. That's the same exact passage being quoted.
Right.
Psalm 95, verse 7. Brother Dale, maybe you can help me out, but it said here, it. Up here it says, and I'm sure that's a reference to scripture. That's what the scripture says. Scripture's it. Here it says the Holy Ghost. But just to make things really bizarre, go to chapter 4. Look down in verse 7. In case it wasn't strange enough. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David. Right? Saying in David. And look what he says. He says Psalm 95, verse 7 again. Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now wait a minute. Three times that same psalm is quoted. Right? First it says the Holy Ghost, then it says it, the scripture, it's in the scriptures. Then it says saying in David. Well, which one is it?
All of them.
All of them. You're right. You're right. Holy men of, let me go there. Second Peter, I'm going to misquote it. I should have it memorized, but you know, I got it memorized and then I stand in front of people and I can't remember anything. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Notice prophecy of the scripture, so there's the connection there. For the prophecy, that's the prophecy of the scripture, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, like David, for example, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we have scripture, we have holy men, and we have the Holy Ghost at work. And you know what the product of that is? The pattern for us to follow. Amen? We have a holy pattern. Let's follow it. Let's do it. Let's endeavor to really get after it. Don't do this. Don't say something stupid like, you know what really, this really irritates me sometimes. Americans, I go away and I come back and I forget how stupid some of the little sayings we say are. Some sayings like this. Don't do as I do as I say. You have no credibility at all. You know what? We're going to do what you do. Because words fall to the ground, right? And everybody's got words. We're watching what you do. Your pattern isn't in words, it's in deeds, it's in actions. It's your response to the trials of life that come upon you. We should use the right pattern, the safe pattern. You're inside, it's a good pattern. In the model shop, when you make a pattern, maybe you've got a, or even like you ladies, dressmakers or something like that, you got the paper, right? You pin it to the fabric and you cut around. You know what? When you're inside the pattern, you're good. But you know little pieces that are on the outside? These get cut off. They're gone. You know what? When you're inside God's pattern, you're good. You're safe. Right? You're part of the body. When we feel that it's a strange phenomena that comes over men and women, we feel like, I know 6 billion other people have sinned, and they always get caught, but I'm different. I'm not one of those 6 billion, right? I can get away with it. I can live outside the pattern, and I'll be okay, right? Wrong. You're not right. You're heading for a fall. You're dope. Don't do that.
Right.
Good grief. Yesterday, I hope you cleaned and prepared.
Well.
Tonight, I hope you can think, look, let's just lay a good foundation. We're here at church, and maybe you're expecting like the dynamic Southern preacher that screams and has a great joke and so on. I'm not that away. Here's what we do. Let's take our shoes off. Let's lace them upright. Amen? Let's double knot them. Let's start at the very beginning. What we're going to do is we're going to live according to the pattern that the Spirit of God has given us.
Amen.
Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's our scripture. We have it in writing.
Right.
You know why we're not monkeys or we can never be monkeys? Monkeys can't read. They'll never be able to read. I don't know about your relatives, but mine, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We communicate by words. Not just reading, but words. I look at monkey and I say, monkey, I want you to go down the road and I want you to make a left turn 2 miles down the road. And I want you to go and order me a submarine sandwich. Monkey goes, banana, right? No matter what you say, that's monkey's feeling, you know, toward you. But we use words because we're created in God's image. God communicates to his people. God expresses his pattern by words. Pastor Asquith, and I'm almost done, but I just got to say this. Last night, he held court at his house, and anybody that was not King James lost. Amen? I'm just like, this guy, do you people realize what a blessing it is to have a pastor who not only believes what God says, but he studies it? Timothy was told to study the Word of God. Study it. Not just, oh, I just got to read my bit and then I'm done, right? But study it. What does it mean? What are you trying to say to me? I've never met a man, honestly, I've never met a man like you who really just like, I don't know how you do it. I think it's a gift. But I know at work, you have to work. You don't just lay in bed and God just gives you the, I don't have to study the book, right? I don't think so. I think he's read it many, many, many times. In his heart, he says, this is the pattern. This is the way I must go. This is the light. This is the lamp. This is my life. I will follow these words. I believe that these are the very words of God. God created me. Therefore, I will do them the best of my ability. And we'll learn it. It's incumbent upon us to learn what God said. It's not incumbent upon God to dumb down the words because we're dumb and we won't study. Amen?
That's good,
man. So I like the NIV. It's easier to read, but it's harder to understand. Yeah, sure. I mean, it'd be great if we all could just use one kind of knife, you know, stuff like that. Go to surgery and, you know, the surgeon, they have tables of different kinds of scalpels and knives, and some have heat so that it sears, and some don't, cauterizes, and some is just a basic little knife with a hook and so on. What if you, that's so difficult. Just give me, here. I got that here. Just give me a knife. Just give me an old knife, right? Just say knife, because it's so hard to learn those other words. It's like, well, if I'm impatient on average, it must be. Can I go somewhere where the guy's really studied, right? Can I go to a church where the guy really studies, where his knife is sharp? Amen?
It's good.
Follow the pattern. Do the good thing. Choose well. Ladies and gentlemen, you choose your friends. You will be like your friends. We're kind of like, this is the first step going back up. I'm trying to build. But this is just the foundation thing. This is how we're building by. Just like we would build a temple or the tabernacle, we build it by a pattern. It's not my thought. It's not my. I know this church, and I'm done after this. I know this church. They go away, they go to Hawaii, the staff, and that stuff. Because they go to, and they have this brainstorming session. And while they're in Hawaii, supposedly, they're thinking, what is the mission of our church? What is the mission of our church? For where there is no vision, the people perish. But we are going to leave out the other half of the verse that says, but whoso keepeth the word of God happy is he? I think it's, whoso keepeth the law happy is he? You know, God's not. It's not the church's responsibility to find a vision, right? God has a vision. The mission is looking for a church. The church doesn't look for a mission. The mission's already there. The mission's looking for a church to say, I'll hook my wagon to that. Let's go with it. Are you with me?
That's good.
But here's the way we're going to do it. We're going to do it God's way. We're going to follow God's pattern. We're going to actively and diligently read our Bibles. Men, we're going to read our Bibles with our families. Ladies, we're going to teach our children to respect the Word of God and to know the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to do that, and we're going to see, we're going to start winning, just like UCLA basketball. We're going to start winning these games, these little victories and these sins that have been holding us back and so on. We're going to start kicking them down the street and get out of here. We're going to start winning because we're following the winning way. It's a good way. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor. I'm shocked either. It's very simple. Very, very simple. Very, very profound. I've seen that verse many times in 1 Chronicles 28 and marveled over it. Once he says, by the word, by the spirit, then by the word. It gives you an indication how God dealt with David. That was a tremendous application of that. And the pattern. Now, I want to say this. Many years ago,
I was in awe of Bill Randall. I had just left Peter Uckman's church, his school, and had meant to just come for the summer to help this church. And I realized that if I was ever going to learn the Word of God, I would never learn it like sitting under Bill Randall. I'd never even heard of a person ever, never heard of one who knew the Bible like he knew it. I didn't even read about a person. You know, people used to flock around Peter Uckman because he was well studied, but he couldn't hold a candle to Bill Randall, and I knew that. So I said to myself, I'll stay here and I'll learn. And I remember one particular time, and I did everything I could to stay behind him and listen and everything, and he and a friend of his were in the front seat of a car, and they were driving, talking Bible. So I asked the pastor, I said, do you know anyone who knows the Bible as well as you do? Well, that was a foolish statement. It's a foolish question, okay? And he ignored it. A little while later, I asked him again, do you know anyone who knows the Bible as well as you do? And again, he ignored that, but you could see he was grieved that I'd asked it. But that didn't stop me. A little later, I asked him again, and finally he stopped the car, pulled it over the side of the road, he stopped the car, and he looked around at me and he said, I don't know anyone else who believes it like I do. And that was the key. As far as I know, every preacher, every fundamental preacher I know, if he thought he had the original of Genesis, Psalms, Romans, and could read those languages inside out, he really wouldn't feel he needed commentaries. He'd really feel that everything was exactly like it should be. But nobody has that confidence with the book in their hand. So one of the great gifts I was given very early was a confidence in the book in my hands. That every single letter, right down to the capitalizations, the italicized, the verse markings, were absolutely exactly what God would want. That he would never change one of them. And you can't imagine what a gift that was. And I began to study with that in mind. And it only reinforced it. I mean, it's not that it, you know, I would just see things and just be astounded by them. Now, back in 1980 when I started, there were many young men that I knew. I'd look to the left and look to the right, and we're all studying and competing and, you know, testosterone, or, you know, we're the great, you know, we know all the Bible, and that knowledge puffeth up, and, you know, we were puffed up. And Bill Randall had a wonderful way of kicking you down. But, you know, we're puffed up. And one by one, I watched a few of them make it, but a lot of them just dropped out, didn't make it one way or another and such. And I talk about the shock of 10 years ago, re-entering fundamentalism. I left it when I left Peter Uckman's church, went into the Anabaptist movement 10 years ago, came back in fundamentalism. And I remember the shock of looking to the left and the right, and there was no one who'd studied their Bible like I'd been taught to study my Bible. There just wasn't anymore. They just didn't exist. And when I tried to communicate to them what that Bible said, they had all these excuses why they wouldn't believe that. It's one of the reasons I wrote my first book. It's one of the reasons I'm writing my second book, is to show people this really is the Word of God. This is the pattern. These are the words. These are them. Now, my wife and I, really boiled down, are horrible people. I'm not saying that lightly. Okay? We're horrible people. We really, in so many ways, have failed in life, in so many ways, just sinful, rotten people. And yet, pattern.
Yes, sir.
Look. You know, this thing was given to us, and we were able to read it. And I often look and think, if my wife and I can live by this, how about some of these other people who really have had good upbringing and character in their lives and such? But then some of you folks have come in here who didn't have a good upbringing and you didn't have good character. Well, there's the pattern. This is what will do it.
Amen.
Now, I've been here 6.5 years, and I have some people who I think really sorrow that they didn't take things more seriously, say, 5 or 6 years ago. Okay? Sorrow. They look back and just realize, gosh, I wish I'd really taken it far more serious than look where I'd be today. But you know what? You can start now.
That's right, man.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Years ago, I read a column by Dear Abby. Now, that's when you're getting really proper biblical advice, all right? But there was a man who wrote, and he said, I have an offer to go to medical school. But he said, I'm already in my 30s. And he said, by the time I get out, 7 years from now, I'll be 40 graduating medical school. What do you think? You know, she said, well, if you don't go to medical school, how old will you be in 7 years? So, you know, and, you know, you say, well, it's, you know, I've waited so long, everything's torn up, everything, and I've got some people in here that there's some bad things going on in your lives right now, and it's awful.
Yes, sir.
But I just know this, you follow
yes.
this pattern. Follow what it says. This pattern, put in your life, put in your home, put in everything, and, you know, in the next 6 years, it'll all be different, okay? And that's just something that God can do. I made up my mind when I got here 6.5 years ago. You know, we're out in the middle of nowhere. We had a very loyal little group of people. We're going to make this building work one way or another. We're going to make this church work one way or another. But I made up my mind that if I just taught the Bible, just taught it, just line on line, line on line, line on line, line on line, that God would make people interested in that.
Amen.
And that it would change their lives like it's changed my life. Okay? It's that pattern. How much do you really want that pattern? Now, there's a pattern out there in the world. Turn on the television, it's there. Now, I myself think it's all wounded destruction. I believe that. And if you listen to their lives, it all is. They have to take drugs to live that way. Okay? You can't live the way they're living and do it soberly. Because it's too miserable and awful a life, too twisted and rotten and just awful. You start following this pattern, and you'll actually wake up one day happy. Not every day. I don't wake up every day happy. I wake up next to the person I love. That itself is a happiness. Okay? But I don't wake up every day happy. But then you'll notice where 2 days in a row you were happy. Remember when that happened? 2 days in a row you were happy. Oh my. You know, you laugh. You laugh. Okay? Now, I don't know if I've ever had 7 in a row. I don't know if that's ever happened where I woke up 7 days in a row, just wow, you know, it's all great. I don't think that's ever happened. But you know, we've strung 3 and 4 or 5 together and such where it's really great. Then you have a bad one, okay? But it's very rare I ever have 3 or 4 or 5 bad days strung in a row anymore, okay? And it's just, there's a pattern here. And when things fall apart, I always find, oh, I got off the pattern. You know, I quit doing what the pattern says, and now it's all a mess. Now I got to tear all that apart, you know, that I did, and get back to where I was and get it back to there. So with that, let's go ahead and, in fact, Brother Hank, just let's not sing another song. Let's just go ahead. I want you to stand and close us in prayer. All right, if you do that.